Insights about emotional and psychological well-being, with a focus on communication and relationships. Hi, Robin.
Good morning, Sherry. Nice to see you.
Yeah, always nice to see you.
Thanks. Before we begin, I'd like to say that the content of this show, Shrink Wrap, does not represent the ideas or thoughts of KHNS or its subsidiaries. It is a program that represents the thoughts and ideas of myself, Robin Grace, and guests as we approach topics that have to do with relational experiences of human beings. So just to put that out.
Great. So yeah. What's the topic today, Robin?
Well, as I said last week, we would continue to pursue feelings and thoughts about sexuality between adults. And I guess the first thought I had was, why should we even talk about it? And why should people talk about this in their lives? Mm-hmm. So to quickly review a few points, last week we talked about briefly about what contributes to a sexual relationship and how we're influenced by parental attitudes from the past and our experiences as we grow up, and how secure we are to communicate. We talked about how we also deal with the ever-changing experiences of sexual feelings that are influenced by things like aging and being ill, pregnancy. And so I guess we're at the point where we can talk about why talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people wonder that. You know, they don't see the value of talking about something or thinking much about something, you know, that could be bothering them or whatever. But it is important to think about it and talk about it, right?
Right. And it may not be familiar to your background culturally. In our little cultural circles, wherever we come from, sometimes people are more open about anything, and sometimes people are not. They're quieter, and families tend to be more avoidant about all sorts of topics. And so sexuality is just one more topic. And even if it's not talked about, or it is talked about, it's the style, the responses, the way our families relate that makes us more or less interested or more or less comfortable. So the first point I thought when I thought about the question of why talk about it, why two people talk about it together, and why we should talk about it, is that talking can convey understanding, and understanding can help build trust. And trust makes us comfortable so that we can deal with things that may be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Especially something as intimate as sex.
Right. And especially at the beginning of a relationship, or if there is some stress going on, or just the mood you happen to be in when one partner approaches the other, if there's something that the other is preoccupied with, or something that one partner feels or wonders about, what better thing to do than to express it?
And talk about it.
Right. And as I said, it can build trust. The other person, it may be difficult to broach a particular subject or even a mood, really. But if it's done in a caring, empathic style, then the person who expresses themselves begins to feel grounded because they're saying their truth. Mm-hmm. And the person who's listening, if they can feel open and not defensive, they begin to feel comfortable too, and that can inspire them to feel that they can be more open. Mm-hmm. So that's how the trust develops, because we both feel, as we're in concert, that we're listening to one another and playing with one another, so we're in tune.
Mm-hmm. And listening to learn about the other, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that potential. You said something that made my ears perk up as you were introducing this. You said you connected feeling secure enough to talk about things. So maybe not feeling secure could keep us from talking about what we're thinking or feeling to our friends or to our partner.
Yes, excellent point. And, you know, the truth is that you need to build that security if you are insecure. So what better thing to do than to be open about your insecurity with someone that you feel relatively safe with, and take that risk, even if it generates some anxiety and fear of the unknown, because if the other person is looking at you with caring and interest, your security can instantly begin to bloom. And so it doesn't, you know, it can break barriers and make you more comfortable, and then make the other person feel a sense of honored that you want to trust them.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a good feeling to be understood when you say something, you know, when you communicate to a person and you get that they get what you're thinking or feeling. It's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. And a good feeling like that can make you feel more open to be intimate, which can lead to a more pleasurable experience sexually or in any instance of intimacy, however that gets expressed.
It's certainly not a passion killer.
It's not a passion killer. It might be a passion leader, actually. I was talking with someone yesterday and asking them, you know, what do you think is positive? What's a turn on toward being intimate and sexual? And what isn't so positive? And that idea of being understanding and feeling that your partner can mirror and reflect you, reflect what you're expressing to them, was one thing that they said would make them feel passionate. So that whole issue of matching and mirroring interest, that desire leads to engaging. So if you are matched together, so if you have an open conversation about something that might have been troubling or uncomfortable, or just some knowledge that you want to share with the other person with respect to how you feel, and the other person gets you, then you might both be in this zone where you're engaged. That's so you're both matched. You know, you and I are engaged. So that gives us a leg up and can direct us toward being more open. And that's very different than getting together over something like guilt or shame. You know, the shoulds, really. Like, I should be intimate, I should be a listener, I should be whatever, is going to feel very different than there's value in this because I observe the other person feeling joyful or compassionate toward me as I speak, or I feel that way as they speak. Another piece is an inquisitive attitude. If partners are able to really be inquisitive, they don't know it all. They're not fixing anything. They're really curious. They want to know, okay, now how do you feel and what makes you feel this way, whether it's physically or emotionally, that also can make somebody feel engaged and want to go forward and be intimate.
And the opposite of that, too. I mean, some people have issues like, don't touch my hair, don't touch my ears.
You know, there's nothing wrong with saying something like that, that it has meaning to me. And maybe the other person might make you feel comfortable so that touching, having your hair touched is something that can become pleasurable. Maybe you had some experiences where ways that you were touched in the past didn't feel good. Or maybe people were not attuned when they did touch you. You know, early sexual experiences can be awkward because they've never been before. And this is whether you're a responsible adult engaging sexually or you're a responsible adult who's married. However it begins, it's the first time is the first time. And so people really deserve to allow themselves the breath, you know, the space to get to know one another. And so what can make this experience difficult? You just brought something up, and it's really the opposite. For example, if you can't express yourself directly, you might resort to being controlling or controlled about yourself, and the other person's going to feel you tight and rigid and maybe not know what's going on.
And take it personal, and
yeah.
And it's not. It's nothing to do with, you know, off of them. It's something you're thinking or feeling or triggered by.
Yes. And even if it is the way the other person's approaching you, you know, maybe they're in a bit of a different mood or a different pace, that may trigger some feeling in you. But as an adult, you can get to the point where you can express that rather than turn away from the other person or just come out and blame them. So again, we're talking about bridges that build trust and intimacy.
And probably better to be gentle and kind about it, wouldn't you think?
I would think.
Like just say, hey, what's the matter? What are you thinking?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah. And
what are you feeling?
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, because at those points, sometimes people are really vulnerable. If things don't go as they expect, they may get a little defensive. They may blame themselves, or they may, based on past experiences, expect to be blamed. So to really be gentle as you navigate this path of speaking about your intimate experience is really going to make the difference, I think, for most people.
Do you?
Well, I think, don't you think we all respond better when somebody approaches us in a gentle, caring tone versus exasperated or blameful? Because then you feel rejected.
Yeah. I can, and then I don't hear anymore when it's, if somebody speaks to me in a non-gentle way when I'm being serious or, you know, I'd rather, I think most people are that way. We become defensive then, you know, and then it's off on a whole, rolling down a whole different road.
Right. And that's an interesting thing that you say, because I was just thinking that you start to get separate. You are rolling down another road, and this might stop the will or the action of being intimate. So really to be able to be in that moment and articulate it sensitively, empathically, especially if it's about something that you're uncomfortable with in the other person, that could go a long way. Just like speaking to a friend or a child or somebody who's walking into your business, you know, you're going to attract more bees with honey. Isn't that the expression? And bees are good.
Yeah, bees are good.
So the other problem with not talking is if you don't talk and share your intimate feelings and fantasies and anxieties, that what can happen is you can come to conclusions without the input of the other. And when that happens, you can start spinning your own fantasies that are not based in an open dialogue. So you're really... it's possible to start creating a fiction in a sense that can really, again, cause you to be very separate. And that can cause conflict and anxiety about being close. And if you think in your head that you know it all, or you know the intention of the other, rather than gently exploring, then you're really telling the other that you don't need their input. You don't need them. So who are you with? And then they're going to feel like, who does this person think I am? So you can really start having identity confusion when communication breaks down. And it's hard for you to identify what's going on because you can't know it all, again, without the participation of the person with you. Also, again, as we've said, when there's a lack of empathy, that is your failure to put yourself in the shoes of the other, that can make experiencing you kind of edgy. Somebody might not want to really hear you if you're not relating in an empathic way. And if you're not attuned to the other person's state of being, that can be a problem. And what I mean by attuned is really conveying, whether it's verbally or non-verbally, the look on your face, your touch, your questions, your comments, you're not conveying that you're trying to get the other person. So it's a kind of empathic way of relating, and it really gives the other person a sense that you're being focused on. Not in a way where you're being scrutinized as much as I'm really here to make sure that my perception of you is as fine-tuned as it can be, so help me out.
And a beginning or a starting place for that, I think, could be as simple as looking the person in the eyes and saying, hi.
Yeah, and that's interesting you say that, because the same person I was talking with the other day about this listed that as one of their, well, one of the things that turns them on, direct eye contact, somebody really getting them and being with them. So, yeah, another problem if you're going to be intimate in any which way is to start bringing up hot topics like money. Difficulty with family members or other problems, you know, that might not be the time to begin addressing those things. Obviously, that brings up a disparity in what's happening, and it can be a distraction.
It could spoil the mood, Robin.
It can. Well said. And then the last thing I want to say is that if you're uncomfortable, something's going on and you're preoccupied and you're going to be intimate in some way, if you decide to not say anything about it and become avoidant, then again, the other person can feel that and they can start to feel insecure. And then you can start to feel alienated. Mm-hmm. And then you get further apart. Mm-hmm. And because this is such a negative place to be, to avoid and to, you know, perhaps influence somebody to feel abandoned or rejected, even though you're not intending to. Maybe you're avoidant because you're uncomfortable and scared. Well, that can breed insecurity, and that can breed anxiety, and even anger. So that's something important to watch out for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, none of this is out of the range of things that happen with all of us here and there. Doesn't have to be a big crisis going on that changes your mood. Anything can, really. And it's really a very mature and positive and healthy thing to do to struggle through these questions and become somewhat analytical. You know, that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you're up in your head and you want to analyze everything and you're destined to be a character on a couch in a Woody Allen movie for the next 40 years. It means that you have a tool, you know, mm-hmm. for which to communicate in an open way where you're exploring yourself and the other. And it's an invitation to a truly intimate moment.
Mm-hmm. And awareness. That's a good mm-hmm. a good point for healing and changing.
Absolutely.
And growing.
Absolutely. And to share your awareness, help somebody know what you are processing and, you know, what you're developing. Mm-hmm. So excellent point.
Thanks.
All right. Well,
you inspire me.
Well, you inspire me.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for today.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Robin.
Okay.
One hand, I got two, and you know two heads are better than one.
Shrink Wrap with local psychotherapist Robin Grace is heard Monday during Sound Waves at 8:45. You can contact Robin at shrinkwrap.wrap@gmail.com.